all the time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had a good time Wednesday night. We watched Jesus Revolution. So it's out now, and you can rent that or whatever. If you hadn't seen it, it'll bless you. Praise God. I spent most of my teen years were in the 70s. Praise God. And good stuff, good stuff. We are so glad to have Reverend Todd Bailey from Fort Collins, Colorado. Colorado with us. Praise God. And I think you've told me before how you got from Kentucky to Colorado. I'll have to ask again. But anyway, we are glad you are here from wherever you're from. Amen. It's always a blessing. And Todd's a good friend, a dear friend, and has preached for us many, many times over the years here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship. You know about him and his ministry, but he can give you any updates that he wants to give you. So let's stand up. Let's stand up. You look comfortable there. So, amen. Get ready. Are you ready for the Word of God? Say, Brother Todd, I'm ready. See, our expectation is God's invitation, and we expect a good thing. Amen. Come on up, Todd. Give him a big hand. Praise God.
Thank blessing you, Pastor Mark. Love you. Love you, too. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So good to see everybody. Amen. And the other people that are still asleep, remind them that I said it was good to see them, too. Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose on purpose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I live a lot of times in hotels and airports, and one lady told me, she's sitting there one day, she said, well, why are you so? I said, listen, this is a delay. This is not a denial. Yeah. A delay is not a denial. That's just right. Because you get somewhere late doesn't mean you didn't get there. Amen? So enjoy the journey. You know, I got a friend of mine that he's hilarious. He's got Tim Conway humor, and he puts things in perspective sometimes, but he says things off the cuff. I got to catch up with him. He said, you know, when my son was born, he's 5'11 now, he's 16. But he said, my wife and I could not wait till our kids begin to walk and talk. And I went, oh, that's wonderful. So he said, well, no, just so we could tell them to sit down and shut up. Amen. It's all in perspective. Amen. I apologize for walking in late. I'm very conscientious of time. I had about three things with my, as they say, wardrobe I had to take care of. So trust me, it was worth it. Amen? All right. Well, it's an honor to be here. I appreciate your pastors for this opportunity. And I always tease them and Pastor John and Sheila that they're some of my very few left unpaid friends. Amen? So, the closer sometimes it seems like you're serving the Lord, it seems like the devil sends people in your life. And I looked it up in the Greek. It's called relatives. And no, that tend to disagree with you more than your friends that you don't pay. Amen? So, but if you got your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I believe I really do have a message this morning. I just pray we'll have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is wanting to say. I've went back and rewrote a lot of different things, combined some different sermons, unlearned some things, because the older that I get, I'm learning that the clay never tells the potter what to do. The more that you yield, the more you get shaped and molded and changed into His likeness. Amen. And I was looking that up the other day about how we were changed and how we were created in His image and after His likeness. And I wanted to read this to you. There is a difference between being created in the image of God as opposed to the likeness of God. Image is the essential nature of God received through the new birth. Image is the essential nature of God received through the new birth. But in His likeness, the person who is born again is reflecting this image through their lifestyle. Amen? So in other words, it's one thing when you learn to witness, but it's another thing when you become a witness. It's easy to tell people who you are and what you got and where you go to church. But it's something else when they tell you who you are and what you got and they follow you to church. See, the Lord says, when I'm lifted up, how do you lift Him up? From the inside out in your light. That's why He said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Well, a work is an action that produces a result, and the Bible calls results fruits. Fruit is a result of an inward action. So when you let your light shine before men, what light is that? Well, that's the entrance of His Word, bringeth light, giveth understanding to the simple. And when it becomes, like Pastor said, you know, when it goes from information to meditation, to impartation, to saturation, to revelation, It produces a proclamation that goes out and causes demonstrations and manifestations. So it's a thinking, believing, speaking process. But if we don't watch it, we'll get into the place where we think we're doing what God has said that we've done for years previous. But what happens is now we have developed a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I'm not saying that you deny God has power. I'm denying that if you put a plug and you don't plug it into the socket over where the power source is, you're denying the power that's available to produce on the other end what you need. See, he's the vine, you're the branch. And what happens is a branch has two ends to it. One is connected always to the source, but it always shows you what the source is by producing the fruit. That's what the Bible says in John, Vine's Dictionary, in Old New Testament words. It says the word fruit is the visible expression of power that works inwardly and invisibly of the character of the power produced in it. That's why some people have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Not the existence of the power, they're denying the power, the capability to do and produce what you need. And then that's why some people go around and they have a form of godliness, in other words, producing artificial fruit, and the gospel's not real to them. They can be in a church full of people with their hands raised up, crying like everybody else, but they're not crying because they feel the presence of God. They feel alone in a crowd. They feel separated because he said, without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and I in you, we are the same. So it's in him that we live and move and have our being. So I found out that the older that I get, and I'm glad that I've learned it back about in my 50s, now that I'm in my early 60s, I find out that the Holy Spirit in you will teach you to do things smarter and start it harder. See, we're out trying, I'll say this about me. I was trying to make something happen, and all the Lord was trying to tell me to do is let it happen. Because when I draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to me. See, a lot of times we're trying to get something we already got and become somebody we already are. So I found out one day I was praying, and the Lord said, a lot of my people are living off the reaction instead of the action. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they're trying to receive something they're not even asking for. They're trying to find something they're not seeking after, and they're wanting doors to open that they're not even knocking on. And he showed me one scripture as an example. He said, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. He said, that whole thing is the reaction. He said, the action that produces the reaction. He said, we're always resisting the devil, but we're forgetting to yield to the Holy Spirit. So right before that, it says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Amen? See, I can't run your race. I can't run your lane. I can't. My hands don't fit your plow. Now, if you stumble and fall, I'll get off, come over. But I got to get back in my lane because my lane has only the expected end and the mark in front of me that I see. You don't see it. We bear one another's burdens. But the hardest times of our lives when we go through it is when we need to begin to praise and worship the Lord. Not too long ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, I need your voice in the earth at this time. Stop talking about what you're seeing. Start talking about what you want to see. And I started to lift my hands up and just begin to pray, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, what is his will on earth that he wants? He wished that none would perish. He wished that I would let my light shine in the midst of darkness. Not put it in the corner or on the table. Put it on the lampstand. The higher the position, the brighter the light. The hardest times of life that you're going through, the most loss that you experience, the most pain you're in, and whatever you're going through, allow God at that moment become your strength in your weakness. Lift him up. Call those things literally as they are. You're not denying the fact. You're denying the right to exist in your life. Why? Because the greater one. One thing I tell my son to say when we go to school, I said, you got to say one verse. And you know what he says? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I said, you just set the precedence for today. It doesn't matter what's in this world. The greater one is inside of you, the thermostat. And I said, don't go out and just be ashamed of self. So when I'm going through the hardest times of my life and I'm not allowing myself to be conformed to this world, I'm not concerned about the opinion of other people. I'm only about pleasing him, for he'll make my enemies to be at peace with me. So when I begin to worship and praise God, I realize my faith, although He's the author and the finisher of it, it will only take me so far. And people say, well, I don't have enough faith. No, you got the measure of faith. You have what it takes. All He says, I need you to speak to the situation instead of talking about it. So in the hardest times of your life, you're going to have to do something different where your faith keeps butting up against something all the time. He says, lift up your hands and let your light shine, and lift up your light the highest that you can, because the light will begin to expose the darkness. And what was meant for evil, I will bring good out of it. People that you don't even know their names, they're shipwrecked, they've given up hope, they've been mistreated, they've been abused, they're wandering in life with no purpose. But when you're in the hardest times of your life is when I'm going to use you the greatest, because I will inhabit your praise. It will produce. I will take what you give me through praise. I will inhabit it. I will produce what you need called patience, add it to what you got called faith, right where you're at in the hardest times of your life, and I will take you where you need to go. So it's through faith and patience we begin to inherit the promises of God. But the biggest thing I'm learning is this. We've got to constantly watch how we think. If there's anything you remember besides that God loves you this morning, is this. Your actions stem from your thoughts. Now, I said all that to get to this place. Your actions stem from your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Brother Hagin said, when you get your thinking, believing, and speaking synchronized, that's the word he used. So I looked it up. It means in harmony or in unison. In other words, let me say it this way. When you think God's thoughts, believe what God believes, says what God says, you'll have what God has. And you'll start living the life that He intended for you to have, days of heaven up on earth. Are you going to have problems? Yeah, but now you have an answer. You're the common denominator. God is the common denominator in your life. It doesn't matter what the devil brings into your equation of life, as long as you count it all joy. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So turn over to Romans chapter 12 real quick. I might have took a little bit longer than normal, but I just want to let you know that, you know, we're not going to read this, but 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 and Hebrews 2, 1, both in the Amplified Classic, talks about that sometimes if we don't watch it, we'll let these truths slip past us, drift away. Just because you knew something at one time doesn't mean it's fresh manna today. Faith is like muscles. It either grows or goes. It never stays the same. So if pastor gets up or whoever comes up and starts preaching on something, you think, well, I've heard this about 19 times or three times this. I've had one person say, well, why does our pastor preach this three times this year? I said, well, maybe you haven't gotten it yet. I said, when you get it and do it, then he can go on to something else. But what people do is, and I used to be really good at this. I used to take my list out. It looks like I'm taking notes because I heard that message before. So I'm writing out my to-do list. Oh, Monday's a holiday. Maybe I can just catch up on some work here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, grocery list. I'll put it down here on the bottom. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The people leave and say, I don't get fed here anymore. I think I'll find someplace else. I sit out there quite a bit. I heard things. I seen things. You know, I don't talk to pastors about anything that's going on anywhere. All I do is I know there's a teacher lives inside of me. He's wanting to get involved in your life to the place. I was on a plane with a guy, and the lady in front of me overheard me, and she stood up. We just had a revival there on this little plane. I mean, they can't kick you off, you know. And in between the, you know. And I was telling him, I said, young man, what do you do? He said, I'm a lobster fisherman in Maine. I said, well, you ever thought about going to Alaska? He said, actually, I have. I said, what's your name? He said, Gavin. I said, Gavin, I always ask God for one or two people that I can ask God to interrupt their lives. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, interrupt means to break into. You ever notice the devil never asks permission to disrupt your life, which means break it apart. I said, every day I want you to ask God to interrupt your life. And I said, don't figure it out. He begins to take people out of your life that you don't need. They're only there for what you can do for them, but never available for you. I said, all of a sudden, God-given purpose, why you were born, begins to rise. Not the job that gives you the best 401k retirement. God's not against that. But why were you born? This guy was so captive. I do this almost every day, the same spiel. And people say, well, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, that's a good name for a boat. I said, what harbor are you in? Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? you got to change the way you think, how you approach people. I started looking at, see, a lot of people see Jesus' perspective on the cross, but very few see his perspective from the cross. See, it's a different perspective. So when you go out and witness, don't look at your personality and say, well, I'm not that type of person. Well, that's funny. The greater one lives in you. Amen? You can witness in a different way. Amen? One of the best ways to witness to people and not be conformed to this world, just start smiling on purpose. Don't do it in airports, they'll follow you. Amen. Amen. You're all so easy to preach to. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to get right into this. I actually preached part of my other sermon. People are like, oh, he's just started? But you'll go stay 45 minutes at your favorite restaurant today. Everybody still happy? All right, notify your face. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 12. I want to talk about what it really means to be transformed today. What does it mean to be transformed from the inside out? You ever notice the butterfly never tries to transform itself? It just goes through the process. Amen? Don't make this gospel, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It's not a have-to gospel. This is a get-to gospel. Come on. When you really love God with all your heart, I believe that's when you really know what you desire. God gives you the what? Desires of your heart. But if you love him with all your heart, I think it's him that actually shows you what your true desires are. And when he blesses you, he had no sorrow to it. All of a sudden, you find yourself loving God by keeping his word, and you are the called according to his purpose. And when you do those things, he says, I will cause, look it up, I will cause all things in your life to work together for good. I can restore the years that the locust has eaten. But see, what we do a lot of times, when I told Gavin, I said, a lot of times we analyze God, end up doing nothing for God. I said, do you ever go into the grocery store and get a gallon of milk and stop and say, I wonder what the color of that cow was and how big it was and where it came from? Huh? I wonder how black cows eat green grass and give white milk. He goes, I don't do that. I said, then why did we figure out God? All we got to do is trust him with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. See, the way that you resist the devil is by acknowledging him, because light always exposes darkness. You overcome evil by doing good. One of the biggest deceptions we're going to see the end times, I believe, is this. He said, fear not. That's what he said. But he said, be not deceived. One of the biggest deceptions I personally think is going to happen is self-imposed by the body of Christ. And we cannot even blame the devil for it. You want me to tell you what it is? James 1. He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What's deception? Well, deception is not when you know it. It's always after the fact. Amen? But when you walk in the path of the light, it shines more and more, but the path of darkness, they stumble at not what they know. Amen? Come on. I mean, during COVID, I quit watching the news. They said, why are you traveling so much? Aren't you watching the news? I said, no, that's why I travel. I don't watch the news. They said, I don't understand. I said, well, let me ask you something. Why is the airline still selling me tickets? Why is the hotel still rent me rooms? Why is the car still rent me cars? Why are they still selling me gas? Why do I go and eat at any restaurant I want? Well, I never thought of that. See, your actions stem from your thoughts. If you don't watch it, a path will become a road to a highway to a stronghold. And that's why we got to change in the way we think. So when your pastors get up and maybe preach something that you've heard or have a series, I enjoy series. I mean, that might be 6 or 8 Sundays, but I'm never there at my church. When I show up, it's funny, they think I'm a visitor, but I might have been attending there for years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'll listen online because I want to keep renewing my mind line upon line, precept on precept. But if you don't watch it, even Jesus had this problem with believers. Well, at that time, when he was ministering to different ones, he said, let those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Because a lot of people are trying to mix tradition with the Word of God or their denomination. There's no denominations in heaven. It's just the name of your boat. Amen? So we've got to unlearn some things. I know I keep going. I'm kind of eating dessert right now before I'm eating the main course, but we'll get there. Amen? Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1 and 2. Paul said, I beg you or I beseech you. One translation says, I appeal to you in view in all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. I want to commend you today for showing up, because how many of you showed up today without your bodies? One guy said, one guy up in Michigan, he's an elder of a large church. I stayed with him. He said, Todd, I'm going to tell you a story that actually happened. I said, man, you got the biggest windows. Oh, they were only a foot from the ground, and they went up like 8 feet. He had these 10-foot ceilings, real narrow like this. He said, see that window over there? I said, yeah. He said, almost fell out of it. I said, what? He said, I was putting my pants on, and it got caught. And he said, I was falling right towards it, and something jerked me around, and I fell right to the side of it. He said, but the Lord began to speak to me because I was praying wrong. I said, Lord, make me all spirit. Make me all spirit. He said, I prayed it for days. Lord, make me all spirit. Make me all spirit. Make me all spirit. Make me all spirit, God. I want to be all spirit, no flesh. He said, well, I'm laying on there, and my heart's pounding real big. And the Lord said, you almost become all spirit. See, we got to learn how to pray and renew our mind. Amen? So look at verse 1. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Now, some of you might not be able to sing and pray and do, praise and worship like some of the worship leaders here and different ones like that. But it says here that when you present yourself, you're coming here today by just showing up and being a participator instead of a spectator. You are actually, now there's people online I know can't come, but they're participating. Well, what it is you're presenting yourself unto God as a spiritual form of spiritual worship unto Him. See, God's not interested in your ability as much as your availability. You may not be the best at doing something, but that should never hold you back from giving your best to do it.
That's right.
Amen? Because when you show up, it's your availability, not as much as your ability. Because it's His grace that is sufficient, not yours. Let's go on. In verse 2 in the King James, what is the second and third word in verse 2? Be not. And be not. And be not. Be not conformed to this world. But notice this. But what? Be. Be. What's the second and third word again? Be not. What's over here? But be. It's like the old, it just dawned on me. To be or not to be. Amen. But be transformed or changed by the renewing of your what? Mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You ever notice your mind goes with your body and your body goes with your mind? Because your actions stem from your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words create images. It goes back into the imagination, drops into the heart, comes out of the mouth, and you repeat that cycle. But it starts with the thinking. Amen? Now watch this. Here's where I'm trying to get to here. I was looking up different words about be and be not. Listen to this. It says, be not drunk with wine, for wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be ye holy. Be not afraid. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ye willing and obedient. Preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Let not your heart be troubled. There's so many other ones. And when I looked that up, when it says when you're being something, it means you're authentic. But when you're acting a certain way, you're putting on a performance. You're almost like an actor instead of being someone that is actually authentic. It's almost portraying someone, but not being the person. God is wanting you to be the real you. If you're going to be there, be all there. Amen? So be authentic. Don't just act a certain way. People say, well, I don't know if I can be authentic. I said, well, then act that way until you become authentic. But stay in the boat. Don't jump ship. Amen? So when I was looking up different scriptures about personal responsibility of what I'm supposed to do and what you're supposed to do, Ephesians 4:16, it's according to the proper working of each individual part that causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. How many knows you can have a sports car, but if you have one seal missing on a gas link or whatever, it's not going to perform to its fullest. Amen? Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this. It says that we need to rightly divide or study to show yourself to prove, rightly dividing the word of truth. But notice what it says here. It says, know what His word says and means, who applies the true teaching in the right way. So I'm finding out you can know what the word says, but that doesn't mean you're applying it properly. Amen? I'll give you a great example. How many of you remember your parents or your dad, let's not blame the mom, but the dad that put the swing set together and said, I don't need the instructions. And there's like 14 screws and two bolts and four seals left over. Honey, does these go somewhere? No, everything's fine. How many knows you got to apply the true teaching of the instructions in the right way? Amen? So another translation says this. It says in First Scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:24, we all have a race to run. Why do we run our race? To obtain. You know, one thing I've learned about achieving your goals is you got to forget about your age and what you can't do, because what you can't do should never interfere with what you can do. My mother just turned 91. She's by herself. She lives by herself. And my neighbor, two doors down, lives by herself and does yard work, shovels snows, breaks up ice, does everything. I'll go down and talk to her. I'll feed her. I enjoy cooking, so I'll bring her food once or twice a week. If she doesn't like it, she tells me. She's 102 years old. She has no peer pressure. I asked her one day, I said, what's your secret? She said, you got to stay busy every day, Todd. Right here. It's your mind. Don't conform. See, a lot of people say, well, I'm getting old. And they say, what about you? I said, no, I'm getting older, but I'm not getting old. See, one's a mentality, one's a number. You say, well, you're just denying it. You better believe it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I got a 102-year-old neighbor that lives by herself, has her own car, does this. She's got three phone numbers, and she sets me down and says, listen, I need to talk to you for a minute. She's 5 foot nothing. You know what I do? I shrink down, and I notice when I talk to her. She says, this number is for only texting me. Do you have that? What did I just say? Texting. She said, this number is only my home number. It goes to my transcriber in case I can't hear you because you talk too fast. And this is my cell phone, just in case you absolutely need to call me. I thought 102 years old. So my son is 16, she's 102, and they go out there and do yard work together. But they're in one mind and one accord. See, don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can't do. There's people I run into that have so many things on their wall, but it's not in their heart. And I know people that didn't even graduate from high school. They're geniuses. They're out inventing things, doing things. My dad went to seventh grade and built 1,500 houses in his life. He just taught himself. He wouldn't let go of things. He just learned. Him and his brothers just built and built and built. There was a lady that was 77. Everybody thought she was going to retire. And she says, you know, I've always wanted to write books. She said, well, write books. You're retired. You got plenty of time. She lived to be 97. When they found out when she passed away, they counted up the books. She wrote 400 books. She could have died with those books inside of her. What I'm trying to do is get you to think different and get to the place to where you don't see the limitations. Because why? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. People ask me, well, how do you do this and this and this? I know you. You're not that smart. I said, absolutely. I don't tell them about the Holy Spirit sometimes inside of me. They're a genius. But I said, I find people that I surround myself with that are actually smarter than I am, and they help me along the way. You don't need to know everybody. You just need to know the right people. And I just happen to have five really good friends besides the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Apostle Paul, his epistles. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Rightly divide the word, get in your thing, run. Run to obtain. Don't just go in motion. Don't be a form of godliness. Don't be an actor. Be authentic. Run your race. Be like an old horse. I remember Oral Roberts told us one day, he said, I'm going to be like an old horse and die with my saddle on. He was not going to retire. He was going to refire. Amen. With that being said, Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before you and I. Here's the big scripture I want to get into. This is the meat of it. Are y'all ready? Mark 7:13 says, you made the word of God to none effect by your traditions or different things. Well, it actually means this. You have made the word of God void. You've canceled it of no effect by putting your own teachings or opinions, as I would say, in its place. You ever notice people, why God waited till the sixth day to create man? I don't think he didn't need your opinion. I really do. One translation says, making the word of God of none authority by your traditions. People come up and say, well, I've tried to work for 3.5 years. It doesn't work. I said, no, it's tried you for 3.5 years. You don't work. You don't do it based upon you're the clay. He's the potter. God does not want your opinion. He wants your obedience and your willingness. If you want to eat the good of the land, fly in it, sleep in it, and wear in it, and have blessings that add no sorrow to it, you got to be willing, which means a submission of the heart, and obedient. That means obedient is an act of conduct. I'm smiling. I would smile more, but I have no lips. I really don't. I mean, you just have to hit me in the mouth. One day I said something funny. I didn't mean to say it funny. They said, what do you mean you have no lips? I said, you remember that basketball player Larry Bird? You remember him?
Yeah.
He had no lips. And then I started laughing. They said, what's so funny? I said, well, birds don't have lips anyway. Do you remember that? I'll give you an example of people who, if you don't watch it, you'll short-circuit the thing of God and make the Word of God of none authority in your life. The power's there. We're denying it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then we give these excuses why, and then we come up with denominations and all these things. Well, God heals sometimes. Well, God knows the heart. You know, God's blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't. You don't find that in the Word. You got to rightly divide the Word. Don't put your 2 cents worth in it. Let God do what He wants to do in you, through you, and out of you. Then He'll take you from glory to glory to glory. In other words, He will come in by His Spirit and purge off all those weights and sins, but you got to lay them aside. And then when you keep stepping out of that, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. You'll literally start living life where you really truly believe it. Instead of confessing it to get to happen, you confess it because it is happening. Why? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But you got to know the truth and continue in it. Until you're completely set free. Amen? But you can't do that when you are conforming to this world and instead of being changed. Amen? You're all so easy to preach to. I'm trying to figure out what to do here. In 2 Kings 5, I'll give you this. We'll move on quickly. The Syrian king came up and he wanted God. He was telling God how to do his miracle, basically. He went out and he said, well, I thought the prophet would come out and say something, wave his hand, do whatever. But he sent a servant out and said, he told me to come out here. He said, if you just go down to the Jordan there and dip 7 times, your skin will come as just like a child. I don't know about you, but I would have been making my bead right down to the Jordan. I don't care how muddy it was. Well, he wanted the prophet to come out. He wanted the prophet to do a certain thing. He wanted to go to 2 other rivers that were much cleaner. Now, are you conforming God to be changed to you? See, you're the thermometer. He's the thermostat. You need to be more like Him. Amen? So what he did was, verse 11, the first 15 verses of 1 Kings 5 gives you the whole story, but verse 11 has 2 words in it that I have kept in my heart because I don't want to ever get that place. You know what the words was? I thought. If you want to become conformed to this world, and you don't know what the Word actually says on the situation, you need to do it. You need to allow yourself to get out of the thought realm because the devil will get in your head, he'll get in your heart, he'll get in your mouth. So you don't want to be conformed, you want to be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. Brother Hagin says your mind stays renewed about as much as you comb your hair. He says you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen? So let me go on here. So what is the key? What's the difference between conforming and transforming? It says it's easy to do. Conforming is easy to do, requires little or no effort. In other words, go with the flow, go with the crowd, whatever's politically correct. You know, you don't want to rock the boat or do this. Listen, I don't rock the boat. I just mean what I say and say what I mean. People say, well, I don't agree with that. I say, well, that's fine. But you don't have the right to tell me to change, to fit what you feel. You know, people sometimes say, well, I'm a sinner. If you was a sinner, what would you want to be, rich or poor? Because I think being poor would make you more humble. And I said, that's dumb. At least I'd be rich. I'd be comfortable in my misery. I mean, you ever thought about it? So what's the word transform means? Oh, people who are conformed are people who live their lives controlled by the pressures from the outside affecting the inside. But when you're transformed, these are people that the expanded Bible says are changed, whose lives are controlled from the power within. And watch this. It is difficult, requires much work, and a constant guard against falling back into the life of conformity. That's why he said in James 1, be not deceived. And he also said in John 8, you both got to continue therein. Know the truth, continue in it until the truth sets you free. Amen. So here's the number key. Here's the number one key that I'm learning about how to really change or go from being conformed to change. How do you renew? How do you do it? It's by the renewing of your mind. But I go a step further. You got to renew your will. A lot of people know what to do, but they don't do it. The Bible says, to him to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. That means you're missing the mark. You're going to miss the mark if you know what to do and you don't do it. And then you're going to look back and realize you're way off course and you have slowly come to the conformity of this world. One translation of this in Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, so therefore, brothers, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg and appeal to you to offer your lives, yourself, your bodies as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be holy only for God and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual, listen to this, authentic and true way of for you to worship. Do not be shaped and conformed and pressed into a mold by this world age. Instead, be changed within, transformed by the new way of thinking or changing the way you think, the renewing of your mind. When I was getting into this, I started seeing some stuff. I was in prayer a while back, and I was sitting there, and I heard the word marinate. Now, I love to cook. I used to do food service. I'm not a great cook, but, you know, my son's, 5'11 now. I like beef. You know, I like chicken. I like salads. I like food. You know, people ask me, they said, I went from 229 pounds to 166, and then about 3 years later, I'm back over 200. They said, what happened to you? I said, well, I just diagnosed myself with overeating. I like to eat. Amen? And I become more of a talker than a walker. That's what you find in the gym. Amen? So I'm getting my mind renewed back to how I was 3 or 4 years ago, and guess what's following? My actions now are following my thoughts. I'm starting to think different, eat different, act different, do my body different. So I'm starting to lose weight and doing that again. Well, if I can do that physically, I can do that spiritually. See, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand it. What happened to God? When I first got saved, it was so real and all this. And I was thinking about this story the other day, and it just came to me just now again. But when I grew up, we had these country roads and stuff. That's why I like to go here. When we go to your house, we go on those back roads. I could just sit there for an hour and just enjoy the ride. I mean, I'm chilled out. But I heard somebody tell me this story and say this. They said, there was a young couple that was in the front. They were probably about 18, 19, and maybe 17. And she didn't have her seatbelt on, but he was sitting there, had her head on his shoulder, and she was kind of caressing his hair and kissing him on the cheek every once in a while. And this older couple was driving behind him. He was the husband was here, and the wife was sitting over here. And she said, honey, you see that? He goes, I sure do. He said, wow, do you remember when we used to do that? He goes, I sure do. He said, well, why don't we do it anymore? He goes, I didn't move. Are y'all seeing? An action produces a reaction. Your actions stem from your thoughts. You got to make time. Well, I'm so busy. Well, don't let busyness become a great place to hide. Don't let excuses become a reason with the lie stuffed in it most of the time. I'm smiling as much as I can. All I'm trying to do is get you either aggravated, motivated, or whatever, but I want you to start changing. Why? Because God's wanting to do not just a work in you, but through you and out of you for the people around you. People are trying to taste of God and see how good he is. Because the Bible says in Matthew 5:13, if the salt loses its flavor its enrichment. I actually looked that up because I heard the word marinate the other day, and it means to tenderize, soften. It means to enhance its flavor. It means that whatever you're marinating has to be consumed with whatever it's trying to become part of, in other words. You can either become part of the Word or you can become part of the things of God. Amen? Now watch this. I looked it up and it says it means to Matthew 5:13, the salt loses its flavor or its taste. When I studied it more, it said its purpose, its strength, and its quality. Don't become bland or flat or boring. We should be the most excited people on the earth. Amen? So I started realizing the way that you are transformed, it's through the process of learning how to renew your mind. But you also have to renew your will. What does renewing the will mean? Renewing the will, watch this now, renewing the will means you act upon the knowledge your mind's been renewed to. And you got to do it to where it actually becomes almost a habit or instantaneously. I've talked to military people. I said, how in the world were you trained to get down when you heard gunfire? They said, we didn't even think about it. It was so programmed in our minds, it controlled our body. It was like a trigger. We just went down. So my dad taught me about boxing and stuff. He said, a good boxer can not just take a good hit, but when he takes that hit, without thinking, he does a counterpunch, which staggers the other guy along enough to where he can recover. And actually now, although he was stunned and almost knocked out, he is actually more aware to approach what the guy now that is staggered. So when the devil comes to you, you got to learn to not just react, but respond. Amen? Jesus was, he was the Word made flesh. The first three words out of his mouth was what? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. So let me hurry up here, and I'll try to get through a couple of these things, and then we'll close. A.W. Tozer said, a whole new generation of Christians have come up believing that it is possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. He said also, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit will never enter a man and let him live the way of the world. Amen? So God is wanting to encourage us to do some things, and we got to allow ourselves to marinate. You know what the word marinate, I found out how a Christian marinates to renew their mind? It's the word meditate. When you marinate yourself in the Word, it comes to two different aspects of meditation. Meditation has two aspects to it, verbal and nonverbal. It means to mutter or to speak to oneself, or in other words, it's like a cow chewing its cud. I sit there and go, by His stripes, I am healed. People go, yeah, I already heard that. I know that. Well, you're living off old manna. You're trying an old method to go into a new land. You're trying to hit the rock instead of speaking to it. See, God's wanting us to go back and do this. I don't know about you, but I enjoy talking to pilots and stuff. And one thing I'm so glad that they do is they always go back for their training. 20, 30 years into business, guess what? They're going back to get their training. That's what you and I need to do as Christians. Don't walk around with all these merit badges on your Holy Ghost sash and say, well, I don't need to do that. Look, I got it right here. I got a diploma. Well, yeah, it's on your wall, but is it still in your heart?
Yeah.
Amen? So let me show you a couple ways that you and I can marinate and do other things to be completely changed again. Not that people say, well, I'm backslidden. I said, well, slide back. Yeah. It's not hard. Amen? See, if you don't watch it, you'll conform real slowly like concrete, and you'll harden up, and you don't realize that you've not really done anything for a long time, but your mind has convinced you that you're okay, and that's when you become in deception or deceiving yourself. So let me give you a couple practical things here, and then I'll see where we're at, because I know some of you are praying and fasting right now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 down to 27. Now, that whole chapter, if you can read it in the Amplified Classic, is an excellent Bible study, Ephesians 4. But notice this. Now, I don't want the teenagers or young people to raise their hand. I have one. But how many of you took off clothes this morning and put on clothes to come to church? Think about that. Most kids, they say, well, I had this on yesterday. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of Christians are. They're still wearing the same old clothes. Strip yourself of your former nature, put off and disregard your unrenewed self, which characterizes your previous manner of life and become corrupt through lust and desire springs from delusion. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So verse 22, strip off, put off. Verse 24, put on the new nature, recreated in God's image, God's likeness and true righteousness and holiness. Reject, therefore, all fallacy. Done with it. Every one of you express the truth with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one body and members of one another. When you're angry, don't Don't sin. He said, don't let your wrath, your aspiration, your fury, indignation last until the sun goes down. That's how long we should allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. When the sun comes down, you should not go to bed being conformed or hardened up. Verse 27, leave no such room or foothold. Give no opportunity to the devil. Amen? He goes on, he says, if you steal, don't steal. If you lie, don't lie. The word no is in the dictionary. It's a complete sentence. No. Devil comes and says, I said no. No. Amen? So let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 12. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? Okay, praise the Lord. Pastor Margaret, these are great notes. I see where Sheila wrote some things too with the highlighter. Verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbersome, unnecessary weight. This is how we're changed. Besides the renewing of our mind, we got to throw off and strip off every unnecessary weight. And that so sin so readily defiles and cleverly cleans and entangles us. Let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who's the leader and the source and also its finisher of our faith. He, for the joy of attaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, ignoring the shame. How did he ignore the shame? Do you know that Jesus was bare naked on the cross? In front of his mother. But he endured your shame. I looked up the word shame one day and it means an event that the devil attaches to your identity. Some of you are 55, 65, 75 years old, but you did one event when you were 17 and the devil put it as a fish hook on your chest or your identity. And always reminds you of that. You know what I did one day? No. Jesus took my shame. I am not going to take and die. I'm not going to live with anything he died to. Amen? And he's now seated at the right hand of God. People sometimes say, well, you don't understand. I'm really going through a hard time and all that. Well, let's read verse 3 then. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider in all comparison with your trials so that you might not grow weary and exhausted, losing heart, relaxing and fainting in your minds. Your actions stem from your thoughts. If you're going to be changed, you got to do it by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, its way of thinking, its attitudes. You know, there's people I can bring up. Let me just say this. Crisis does not make us what we are. It reveals who we are. And I've learned a big difference between improvise and compromise. Improvise is when you create or perform spontaneously without preparation. In other words, you produce or make something from whatever is available, but you don't compromise your morals or what you believe on. So what's compromise? Compromise is accepting what you don't believe because you refuse to fight for what you do believe. Amen? Well, what will people think? Well, they're already talking about you. It doesn't matter. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Come on, a double-minded man is unstable in all everything, and let not this man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'll give you two examples, and then I'm going to go to read something about Charles Finney. Daniel chapter 3, we know that the three Hebrew young men, they were trying to be conformed to the world. Everybody's doing it. When you hear the flute and the harp and all these things, you need to bow. They said, no, we're not going to do it. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, came up, stood in front of them, basically, three young men, and he says, you're going to have to do this. I wrote verse 16 down four times, what it says. We do not need to defend ourselves to you. One was, it is not necessary for us to answer you at this point or matter. Another one was, we are not in need of an answer to give to concerning this, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you on this matter. When you stand up against the devil, guess what happens? He has no fruit of the Spirit. He literally loses his mind. He has no patience. I mean, he's got a furnace now that is cremating people. I mean, there's nothing but ashes left. He turns it up seven times harder. Go get my mighty man. Before they got there, they burned up. That was a really smart move. And the three men that he was trying, young men he was trying to get in there, they just walked on in themselves. And he looked in, he seen one, he said, wait a minute, is there four in there? Now, here's my point. When you don't compromise and you stay changed and won't conform to the conformity of this world, look what happens. In verse 20, the king threw him in. Verse 26, the king changed his mind. If you don't compromise and you mean what you say and what you mean, the enemy, think about this, the world will start thinking different because they realize there's something about what you believe that you really believe. You're not double-minded. You're not unstable. You mean what you say and you say what you mean. And guess what happened? 8 verses after he threw him in, it says the king glorified their body. Amen? We can see this with Moses and different ones and the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen? So let me finish up with a couple things here and then we'll be done. I hope I'm not taking too long. Is that okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. I want to show you something here that I never seen before, but it's through the meditation of the Word and different things like that. So let me read this. I want to read Hosea 10:12 to you, and then I'm going to read Luke 8, and then we'll finish. All right? Is that okay? Trust me, you don't want to get to a restaurant early on Sunday morning. I worked in them 9 years. We never ran out of food on Saturday night. If you go to a buffet, you better not go to about 1:30 or 2. You want me to tell you why? I'm serious. You're eating leftovers. All they did was add a little bit of water and maybe fixed a little bit, mixed it in there, and stirred it really good. I watched it too many times. People sitting in there. So I have people coming out on sometimes, and they got their toothpicks. Hey, you're just getting out of church. We already went to church and ate. I said, I hope you ate 3 plates. So they're paying the same amount for leftovers that I'm getting the good stuff. Amen. It didn't work, did it? All right. I was trying to buy myself 5 more minutes. Okay, let me read this. Hosea 10:12. We're talking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our will, learning to strip off certain things so we won't become conformed or in a certain mode or shape, and all this. Instead of learning to witness, we want to become a witness. We want to rightly divide the word of truth, not give our opinion to God, but let God speak to us in what He says and be the true clay and let Him mold us exactly, and then He will truly give us the desires of our heart and our future will be a lot better than our past. Hallelujah. Amen? Now watch this. I'm going to finish this up. Hosea 10:12 says this. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until what? He comes and rains righteousness, which I looked up. It means deliverance, justice, and His saving grace upon you. So when I looked this up, I thought there's only one person. I came across him. I thought, I just need to see what Charles Finney said. I really like Charles Finney. I don't read him much, but man, this guy had the fruit. Charles Finney wrote this about breaking up fallow ground. And it's going to go right with Luke 8, and I'll explain why I'm reading this in a few minutes. Fallow ground, if you allow me, I'll read it word for word. Fallow ground is ground which has been tilled, but now lies waste and needs to be broken up and mellowed. I found out, growing up around farms, people, it means... And actually looking it up too, it means to be softened or smooth. So your heart needs to be smooth and softened, in other words, mellowed before it's ready, here's the word, to receive grain or seed. Breaking up the fallow ground is to break up your hearts. Prepare your minds. To bring forth fruit unto God. The mind of the man is often compared to the ground in the Bible, but the word of God is the seed sown there. The fruit representing the actions and the emotions of those who receive it, or the fruit of the result of what they received. That's why he said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. The fruit representing the actions and emotions of those who receive it to break up fallow ground, therefore, is to bring the mind into such a state that it is fitted, did you hear this? Fitted to receive the Word of God. Now let me pause here. Paul Yonggi Cho, he changed his name later to David. Largest church in the world. He said, I would go to certain countries outside of Korea, especially Japan, I think he said. This was back in the 70s, I think, 80s. He said, I would sit there and preach to them the gospel, but they were so heavily traditioned with different religions and everything. He said they would sit there out of respect to go like this. But in their heart, they were going. Because why? Their heart had not been mellowed and smoothed out. They were so stringent on what they had heard, they was not allowing anything else into their hearts as soil. Now watch this. This is going to go fast. Sometimes your hearts get matted down, hard and dried until there is no such thing as getting fruit. From them until they are what? I covered it up here. Hold on a minute. I got busy this morning doing a bunch of stuff and I covered it up. Broken up and mellowed down. So therefore, you can't get no fruit from it until they are broken up and mellowed or smoothed down. And fitted to the word. Now notice this. You got to get fitted to the word and not get the word fitted to you. I wrote a couple things down. Let me finish this. It is softening of the heart so as to make it feel the truth, receive the truth, which the prophet calls breaking up your fallow ground. I wrote this down. Actually, I was studying last night and I was praying and I looked up Luke 8. Can you put up Luke 8, verse 11 through 15? I noticed there's only one type of seed. It's the Word of God. But there was different diversities of soil mentioned. And I wrote this down. I never seen that. It says, we always are wanting to change the type of soil to receive the seed. In other words, each individual must change the soil or the mindset or their beliefs or their traditions or their culture or what their environment has engrafted in them to receive the seed or the Word of God. Not changing the Word of God to be acceptable to our opinions, mindset, beliefs, culture, or the environment we've been engrafted to. So in other words, I said it again, the clay does not tell the potter what to do. But I want you to know it's on verse 13 here. It says it fell upon the rock and there was no root because I found out that meant thin soil. Some people have thin soil and they says because it's a lack of meditation upon the word. Sometimes people say, well, I thought you marinated this. Yeah, I put it in there about 10 minutes ago. Well, it has not had time to marinate. You just coated something. You can't come in here and let the pastor fix you two or three hot meals and you go out and fast the rest of the week. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? I'm not here to bring you condemnation, but people are dependent upon your life. You don't realize that your kids and your grandkids and the people around you will go more off of your actions than what you're saying. You know, my son says, I'm going to take care of this. We have a rule. If you don't do this in 2 weeks, I contact the teacher. He said, well, I'm going to get done. I let him go one time, 6 weeks, just to see what he do. Dad, I got it. I said, okay. He said, why did you contact the teacher? I said, because what you're saying is not matching your actions, your behavior. So therefore, I can't go by what you say anymore. I'm going to go by what you do. And until what you do lines back up with what you initially said, then I'm going to believe what you say. See, that's why a lot of people don't want us around. They say, well, all you Christians are hypocrites and all that. And I get, you know, you get all that. I don't want to do that. I said, well, God's not in steeples. He's in people. And you keep looking at horizontal relationships instead of a vertical relationship. So you're comparing God with man. Amen? So, you know, I sit there sometimes and I just look at people. I say, you got to stand in the Word and meditate. Speak it. I know you're going to miss a day or two here and there, but get in a routine, a rut. What if I paid you $100 a week just to do this or $100 a day? All of a sudden, you're motivated. Why? Because the mother of inventiveness is necessity.
That's right.
You start realizing something. You know, it's sometimes if we just do what we needed to do to prevent the situation, we wouldn't hurry up and do it all at the end to get rid of the problem. If we apply the solution all along the way, it usually takes care of the problem long term. But if we put off the solution long term, it creates the problem. Thank you for coming. Drive safely. No, I'm just kidding. So verse 13, I'm almost done. It says, therefore, you got to meditate. The soil becomes deeper so it can receive it. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say and I only do what I hear the Father do. So why? Because he was transformed. Let me give you this and I'm going to try to close. Let me do this. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I've been going 57 minutes. I'll try to take two more minutes here. We'll call it the hour of power. That didn't work either, did it? Look at Luke 6:46. I want to show you this about one of the classic things about conforming or being transformed. So give me about five more minutes and then we'll close here. But this, I thought about this last night and I didn't even, This is one of my favorite stories. Now, how many knows the Bible was not written in chapter and verses? You know that, right? So let's read verse 45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. Now I'm reading the New American Standard Version. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from what fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I, what's that word? Say. Everyone who comes to me and hear my words or my sayings and acts upon them, I will show you what you're like. You don't need the world to tell you who you are. God says, I'll show you what you're like. Now, this is not a condemning sentence. This is where you go in and pay for the basic car wash, but God gives you an upgrade and He just does the undercarriage, everything. Engine, everything. He wants to clean you from the inside out. Watch this. He said, everyone who comes to my and hears my sayings or words and acts upon them, acts upon them, acts upon them, I will show you what you're like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, it didn't say if, but when the flood rose, the torrent against that house could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard the word and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built his house on the ground without any foundation. In other words, not been truly transformed in the way that they think and they choose. Watch this now. The torrent burst against it, immediately collapsed, and the ruins of that house was great. It was great. So when I was reading this, it's been a while back now, I realized that he said, if you just do what I say, those who hear my sayings and do them, I'll show you what you're like. So I found what his sayings were. Go back into the early part of the chapter. Look at verse 27. But I say unto you who hear. This right here for verse 27 to 44 is his sayings. He said, if you do these things and allow yourself to be transformed by what I'm about ready to say, I'm going to show you what you're like. You're going to like be like somebody that doesn't have thin soil. You're going to be like somebody who dug deep until you hit not just a rock that will kill the seed, but upon the rock the truth has been established upon, because your foundation is going to be deep, your soil is going to be deep, it's going to be smooth and not hard, and I'm going to produce a harvest for you that you're not going to be able to contain. Why? Because it's not you that liveth, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're going to bear forth fruit, not just in your giving, but in also your sowing of your life. I'm going to let your light so shine before men that they'll glorify me through your actions. Because it's not you that liveth, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've been so changed now that you are actually now acting like the person that you accepted. Can I read this real quick? But I say unto you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Oh, praise the Lord. It's like breaking up scar tissue after a surgery. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on one cheek, offer also him the other. Take away your coat. Do not withhold your shirt either. Now, verse 30 was a hard one for me because I did research this because I couldn't figure it out. Give to everyone who asks of you. I did. I asked the Lord. I said, I'll be broke in 2 weeks. But I found out it means who is in need of necessities. Who takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. See, you're being transformed. Now watch this. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love Him. He said, if you don't, you're just going to be conformed to like anybody else. You're going to go with the flow. Part of the crowd. Don't rock the boat. He says, do you really want to be changed? He said, let me show you how to dig deep and lay your foundation on the rock. Because the storms are coming. But if you want me in your boat, you need to do what I say. Now watch this. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive the same amount. But love your enemies. We're digging deep. And do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. See, you're being transformed. Do not judge. You will not be judged. Do not condemn. You will not be condemned. Pardon. You will be pardoned. We think this is an offering verse, which it can be, but verse 38 is actually referring to verse 27 to 37. He says, give. Give what? Everything I just said, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your measure, it will be measured to you in return. He also spake a parable and said, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they both fall in the fall of the pit? pit. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained will be like his teacher. In other words, the moment you hear somebody say something contradictory or beyond the word, guess what? They are becoming your teacher now instead of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He will lead you and guide you in all truth. The moment you listen to the world or its conformity and say, well, you know, the Lord loves everybody, and it's okay if we do this and this. I understand that they hurt you. You know, the Lord knows your heart, and if it's okay. No, the Bible doesn't tell me that. David said, I have written a word on the table of my heart, that I might not sin against you. How did he do it? He said, but my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You got to walk around and meditate on the word by speaking to yourself out loud. Start saying it. Start looking in the mirror and say, don't look at the reflection. Look at the image you were created after. Look deeper and say, Father, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to meditate and marinate your word inside of me where it becomes part of me and I become part of it. And whenever I come in, I'm not going to react. I'm going to respond. I'm going to walk not in the spirit, flesh. I'm going to walk in the spirit. I'm going to overcome evil by doing good. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to hold my banner up high. I'm going to do what you said. And one day, as I keep my hands to my plow and I don't look back and I keep pressing towards my mark, one day I'm going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's when you've been truly transformed. Amen. Now I can go on because he goes down and he says, for there is no good tree that produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree that produces good fruit. For each tree is known by his own fruit. Do not gather figs from thorns. They don't pick grapes from a briar bush. Then he goes right back into verse 45. The good man of the good treasury of his heart brings forth what is good. Amen? So let me finish with this. I want to finish with this. I'm sorry, I just went over a little bit. Let me finish with Romans 12, 1 and 2 again in a different translation, since we all said this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. I'll say it again. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God wants to bring the best out of you, which is a developed, well-formed maturity in you. Folks, we're living in a world now where you need to mean what you say and say what you mean. Jesus is coming back. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying anything about me, but he went from the 500, went from the 12, went to the 3, and there was one at the cross with the mother of Jesus. The closer you get to the cross, the crowd becomes thinner and thinner and thinner. Why? Because it's so easy to conform. Don't get to the place where you say, I don't receive any of this. I said, well, when you go swimming, you can't separate the wet from the water. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Amen? Your actions stem from your thoughts. So I challenge you, don't be conformed anymore. It's a slow process, but it's a hard process that has bad results. But be changed in the renewing of your mind and then choose to renew your will by acting on what your mind's been renewed to. And when you do that and you mutter these words to yourself every day, don't just confess things to become an echo. Allow yourself to be that voice again and say, Father, I thank you. By your stripes, I am healed. Father, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I thank you, Father, you're bringing people into my path and I'm becoming the light of the gospel for you. Lord, don't teach me to witness. Teach me how to be a witness. And when you do this, you marinate yourself and all of a sudden your voice has substance in it and you're not like an echo repeating what the world's repeating. Because they threw their rods down too, but you need to make sure that your snake or serpent will swallow up theirs. Amen? Do y'all get anything out of this? Sorry, I went over a little bit. Praise the Lord. Now, I do altar calls backwards, so don't get me mad. People say it's peer pressure. I said, well, go to hell for a day. Come back and tell me what peer pressure is. But how many of you are born again over here? Raise your hand. Over here. Are you all born again in the back? Praise the Lord. I mean, what about sound booth? No, I'm just kidding. You never know. What about here in the middle? Let me see your hands. Praise the Lord. You doing okay, Gary? No, I'm just kidding. He's my ride. I got to be nice. What about over here? Are you born again, brother? Okay, praise the Lord. Some people don't realize up here when you put it behind the pew, I can't see it. Just like you're on the shoulder. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. I pray that we'll have ears to hear and eyes to see. And I ask you to help me, Holy Spirit, to say these things maybe in a lesser time frame, but no less anointing. Father, I know you're coming back for church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Let us be changed from glory to glory. Let us think like you, speak like you, believe like you, Father. Let us be that salt again, where we make people thirsty and say, I don't know what you got, but I just need you to tell me, what is it that you have that makes you happy when times are bad, and smile when everybody else is frowning? Well, I don't know what, every time I get around you, I feel peace. Father, let us never go to the conformity, to compromise. I'm asking you right now, Father, we protect this seed in their hearts. Let us break up our own fallow ground. We can't do it for one another, but we got to do it ourselves and make that choice. And forget about our age, whether we're 87 or 27 or 7. It all starts in the mind. Let us be about the Father's business. Let us be like old horses dying with our saddle on. We're not going to go and out to pasture. We're going to keep pressing. And we're not going to die with any gifts inside of us. We're going to leave it for the next generation if the Lord tarries. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done today, Father. We give you glory. Pastor Mark, thank you so much. We thank you. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I give you something to think about. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to close the service by giving you an opportunity to give it to Todd Bailey, Todd Bailey Ministries, and for him preaching the gospel all over the world. Praise God. And so if you need an envelope for your giving, these ushers are in the aisles. There's envelopes in the pews right before you. And then there also, you see the ways to give in person. You're here. You know how to do it on mail. You know how to text. You know how to do it that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was thinking about, you know, Jehovah Jireh. Everybody knows the term Jehovah Jireh. Make out a check, make it to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. We'll in turn give it all to him. Glory to God, but give you a tax receipt for that. But, you know, everybody knows that Jehovah Jireh means the Lord our provider. Amen. Just like Jehovah Sitkenu means the Lord our righteousness, and Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. But Jehovah Rapha came when, I'm doing this while you're filling out your stuff. Jehovah Rapha came when, that's when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, but the Lord stopped him and said, you know, I don't want you to sacrifice your son. And then he saw a ram in the thicket. He said, I provided an offering for you. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. But it's not just the Lord will provide. What Jehovah Jireh really means is the Lord sees your need before you ever get there. Whatever is coming up, God sees it in advance, and he makes it available to you when you get there. Of course, like every other scripture, is faith activated. You got to believe that for it to be true in your life. And, of course, you got to believe the other scriptures. And you know, Abraham was obeying God when he proclaimed Jehovah Jireh, or saw that the Lord was his provider. Praise God. So you got to be a tither and a giver and believe in God as you do it. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Father, we tithe and give this morning. We give right now, praise God, into Brother Todd Bailey and his ministry. We thank you for the word of God that was sown into our hearts this morning, Father. And always, 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 Father, we want to be tenderhearted. We want to be open-hearted. We want to be receptive hearts to your word, to be doers of your word, most importantly, because we have a soft heart, a receptive heart. And Father, we in obedience to your word, we bring our, you said to take care of those that minister to you spiritually with your natural things. In other words, to sow into their lives financial gifts. And so we do it willingly, we do it joyfully, we do it gladly, and we do it obediently. And because we do it, we thank you that we receive an abundant, abundant harvest in Jesus' name right now by faith. Amen and amen. Go ahead, gentlemen, wait on the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. Give him a hand. Thank you. Praise God. Everybody stand up. Praise God. We're glad you were here this morning. Good to see everybody. We love you so much. Have a blessed, blessed week. We see you again Wednesday night. If you can be here, God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you.